Another aspect related to bid'ah is that sometimes we wonder that, okay, you know, but how far can I do something that's new in the deen? Okay, so step number one, limit on me. Step number one, right? First restriction is that I cannot do anything new in the deen that goes against the Quran and Sunnah. Okay. Are there any other restrictions? Yes. Second restriction. So first restriction, that you cannot do anything impermissible in the Quran. So you must do what is permissible. So second step is, okay, what exactly is permissible? How do I know? In things that are old, I know what's permissible. If I'm doing something new, well, it's new. So how do I know whether it's permissible or not? So okay, second restriction is, watch this carefully, because this is the real understanding of the concept of Salaf. Salaf Salihin referred to these three generations, Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in. So second restriction is very simple, that whatever is permissible in the Quran and the Sunnah, whatever was rendered permissible by the Prophet ﷺ, and whatever was made permissible by the Sahaba, whatever was viewed as permissible by the Salaf, whatever was viewed as permissible by the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in, that is also permissible for us to do. So we had a second restriction. For example, the example that we're going to be using today is that of Nafil Ibadah. So let's just take the word of Ibadah, because the Tasawwuf is about Ibadah, right? We're not talking here in this session, I mean, we're here to talk about the Tazkiyah and Tasawwuf, so we're not here to talk about the new Ijtihad and the new Usul and the new Hadith sciences and the new Tafsir principles that were developed by the Ulama of Tafsir, Hadith and Fiqh. We're here to talk about what about these new Nafil Ibadat that were developed by the Mashayikh of the Tasawwuf, and we know for a fact that the Prophet ﷺ himself never did these Nafil Ibadat. Right? That's the question you all have, right? Is that bidat or not? So what we need to look at is, okay, when we look at Ibadah, what did the Sahaba and Tabi'in and Tabi'i Tabi'in allow for themselves? Obviously whatever the Prophet ﷺ did as Ibadat, that is guaranteed allowed. The question is, can you do any ibadat that the Prophet did not do? I.e., can you do a new ibadat? So the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in are unanimous that you cannot do any new ibadat in the realm of farz and wajib ibadat. Therefore, no Shaykh of Tasawwuf can add anything to the faraiz and wajibat. That is clear. Next question then, and now I'm bringing it home, right, is about Nafil Ibadah. Can I do a Nafil Ibadah that the Prophet himself did not do? Can I do a Nafil Ibadah that the Prophet himself did not teach the Sahaba to do? So I will say, okay, we have to meet the two conditions. Number one, you could never do a Nafil Ibadah that involves doing something against the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Such as somebody says, I wanted to do Nafil Ibadat and I listened to Qawwali, music, haram, against the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia, can't do that. Somebody says, men and women will get together and do a dance on Thursday night at a mazar. We say, oh, it's you're doing that as Nafil Ibadat? Yes. You accept it as new? Yes. But problem, you don't pass the first shart. You're doing something against the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. You're intermingling of the genders. You're dancing. Such as someone says, I'm going to do some Nafil Ibadat and take some hashish or some marijuana, right? It's okay, you're doing Nafil Ibadat? Yes. It's new. You accept it as new? Yes. You're not trying to say it's farz or wajib? No. But you're not passing the first shart. You're taking marijuana. It's against the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. The second condition on Nafil Ibadat. Now watch this specifically, now I'm going to expand the second condition as it pertains to Nafil Ibadat. What we need to do is we need to see what was the amal of the Salaf when it comes to Nafil Ibadat. Simply speaking, did the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in allow themselves to do a Nafil Ibadat that the Prophet ﷺ never taught them? If the answer to that question is yes, if the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in can do Nafil Ibadat that the Prophet ﷺ never taught, that is not on record in Hadith, then if it is permissible for them, it is permissible for us. This is the key point. Did everybody understand this? if the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in themselves engaged in nafil ibadat that the Prophet ﷺ did not teach or did not do, if it's permissible for them to do new types of nafil ibadat, then it is going to be permissible for us to do new types of nafil ibadat. But the first shart will still apply to us, that we can't do any new nafil ibadat that is against the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Alright? Now, here we begin. Nafil ibadat consists mostly of two things, dua and zikr. First, let me explain this a little bit from the Quran before I move to the hadith and then the amal of Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'i Tabi'in. Alright? Dua and zikr. Now, all of you know, let's take dua, because for some reason, dua people are more open. Zikr, log pareshan ho jate hain. Right? Now, dua, there are certain duas that are mentioned in Quran. All of you know that. Almost all of them start with Rabbana. Rabbana hablana, Rabbana tubalaina, Rabbana firlana, etc., etc. Right? And those are duas of many different prophets also. So one are the duas that are transmitted to us in the Quran al-Kareem. Second is that those duas that have been transmitted to us in the hadith, the masnoon duas, and mashallah, you can get a whole range of books in English, Urdu, any language, compiling the Musnun Duas, right? And everybody should make it a habit, by the grace and fazl of Allah, to learn and to use these Duas in the Quran and Sunnah. The question is that can I make a Dua other than those Duas? The answer is yes. Technically that's a bidah, that's something new. That's a new nafil ibadah. Yes, you can. You can make dua in your own language. You can make dua using your own words. Right? And you'll find everybody in the world does this. I'm sure all of you must have heard of Imam al-Sudais. Yes? If you ever are live, have the grace and fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in Makkah Mukarramah in Ramadan, when any one of them, but let's take his example, he is reciting Taraweeh prayers. At the end, he makes a dua called Dua Kunud in their witr, right? And in that, he makes duas from the Quran, he makes dua from hadith, and then what does he do? He makes his own duas. He starts making duas in Arabic language, but they're not duas that you will find those wordings in the Quran and hadith. He makes new duas. New. New. And what is dua? Nafil ibadah. Everybody does that. Everybody makes new du'as. And the same, why? Reason for this is in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to make du'a, but He has not specified any particular or exclusive way to make du'a. This is what in Arabic is called ijmal. And you, if your Urdu is good, you would know this as well, ijmal. So that, there are some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, some ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us tafsilan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tafsil, it's not for any human being to give the tafsil for that. But there's some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left ijmalan, and that is dua and zikr. And that is up for the people of the time, the ulama of the time, to find different ways to make dua and zikr, as long as they meet these two conditions. Number one, that their dua and zikr doesn't have anything against the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. And number two, that they can show that the Salaf Salihin themselves did new du'as and dhikr. That's my job, I'm going to do that for you now. That the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi'i Tabi'in themselves did new du'as and dhikr.